In a universe that almost is, just out of reach beyond the edge of reality, mysterious forces underlie the fabric of existence. Energemetra 6, the very energy of creation, serves as both the elixir of life and the arsenal of destruction for its human and not-so-human denizens.
Crushing darkness, whose source they cannot fathom, grips the cosmos and its people. In anguish, they dream of the long-foretold bright star.
Join us as we embark on an epic journey, exploring the universe of Energemetra 6.
And welcome, everybody. This is episode 39 of the Energemetra 6 podcast. We are doing The Veil of Mysteries, Chapter 16 today. We have Luke and Mel, and none of my kids are here today, because apparently they don't have parts today. So this is going to be our second-to-last episode for The Veil of Mysteries, and after that we'll probably end up taking a break, because I don't have more stuff ready to read yet. We should have Path of the Talonwood, the sequel to Winter Night, done pretty soon, and I want to do that when it's done, but we're not there yet, so we'll be taking a break. But before we get to Chapter 16 today, let's go ahead and do the V for V ad. The Energemetra 6 podcast operates on a value-for-value model. That means that we hope if we provide some value to you in your life, that you'll return that to us in whatever way you can manage. If you're interested, head over to e6universe.com and sign up for our email list to get our free ebooks, and hopefully buy a physical book or some merch while you're there. Or if all you can manage right now is to leave us a good review somewhere, 5 stars or some kind of positive rating, that's more than appreciated. Thank you.
All right. Mel, you want to read the chapter blurb or the chapter header thing for this one? That'd be our last one for The Veil of Mysteries. Let's see. So, folks, this is The Veil of Mysteries, Chapter 16. Take it away, Mel.
The universe begins to look entirely different when you've been backed into a corner.
Maxim of the Order. Still holding his air bubble and clutching the globe with one arm, Nate awkwardly twisted himself back into the airlock, making sure his air bubble covered the comm, and smacked the activation key. "Andrew, I have to anchor to something. Is there a gravity well that's detectable out here? Anything at all?" The answer was a long time coming. When Andrew spoke, his voice was hesitant.
"Nate, the only thing that's strong enough to register here is the galaxy's center of gravity."
Nate barked a laugh, then keyed the comm again. "What's our comparative motion? I need to get stationary relative to it." The pause this time was even longer, and Nate's gut felt the bad news coming even before Andrew spoke.
"It'd take about 15 minutes at max Rutten drive to do that. But Nate, that puts us right in the middle of them."
It was what Nate had feared and suspected deep down was coming, but hadn't wanted to acknowledge with his conscious mind. They would have to go back through the enemy armada, whether they liked it or not. That meant he would have to rely on his friends to hold the enemy off. It put them in terrible danger, both from the enemy themselves and from entropic shock. It left him afraid for them. Somehow, knowing what the enemy was capable of and deciding to turn back into their teeth was even worse than choosing to face them the first time, especially since he was needed to activate the globe. The situation was not one he would have chosen, but he couldn't see a better option. Nate hit the comm again, but didn't speak immediately. His sigh must have come through because Andrew asked,
"I'm guessing there's not much choice. This is probably suicide, you realize that?"
"Put me on speaker, Andrew." A moment later, Andrew came back.
Okay, you're on.
Nate was silent, trying to put something into words that he barely understood himself. Eventually, he sighed. Andrew just said this is probably suicide. He may be right, guys. I'd say I'm sorry, but this had to be done. We're the only ones who could do it. I need you to hold the shield like we did when we ran the gauntlet the first time. Whatever it costs, hold it. Rachel's voice cut through the calm.
Nate, we can't hold this disruption field and the shield at the same time. How important is the field?
Nate nodded, even though they couldn't see it. I can hold the disruption field until it's time to let it go. You guys have to handle the shield, though. I've got nothing to sink extropy into out here. Nate paused again, searching for words, but he couldn't find any. Finally, he said, "Thank you all." Nate's attention turned to what was about to happen, and after another moment, he asked, Andrew, is it going to be a problem if I have the airlock open for all this?" Andrew's laugh, complete with some measure of actual humor, came back to him. Andrew half grumbled,
"Why not? Going to be some serious field fluctuations when I start the drive, though. Be ready."
"Roger." Nate's voice was as steady as he could make it. Nate tried to prepare himself, but almost instantly the Retton Drive's rainbow flared to life around him. There was no sensation, no indication anything had even changed, other than his Energemetra sixth sense being nearly swamped by the tide rolling across the airlock. Slowly, gravity came back, and Nate reached out to the disruption field, taking control of it back from his friends, and turning his attention to keeping it from distorting. Whatever else their stop and now reversal had done, it certainly put the force trying to interfere with the field back into high gear. It was all Nate could do to keep the thing anchored and in approximately the right shape. Through the rainbow blur of the Retton Drive, Nate could see his friends preparing the ship's shield to take fire from the enemy, feeding as much of their strength into it as they could. It didn't take long after that for the enemy's fire to start streaking in on them in dribs and drabs at first, then in a continuous wave that was, if anything, even fiercer than what they faced before. Then it was all Nate could do to keep the distortion field in place alongside the shield his friends were somehow holding fast. Over and over, stronger and stronger, the Watcher's will beat at his shield. Over and over, he restored it to its proper shape. It was amazing how fast the effort sapped his mental energy, and he could only imagine his friends holding their own against the titanic wash of power constantly sleeting in on them. Once or twice, Nate caught glimpses of ice or other physical substances being snapped apart by waves of force that must have been Rachel's, and once actual plasma streaked out to envelop something Nate hadn't seen clearly, consuming it completely. Again, as the enemy armada closed, Nate felt the same creeping dread he'd felt before when he faced the changed. It was still relatively faint, but whatever it was seemed to emanate directly from the twisted horrors aboard those huge vessels. Nate could only hope his friends would be able to hold their concentration with that extra interference. What played the biggest part in saving them was a stealth ability that must have come from Keevan, or was it Ty? Whoever was responsible, the enemy sensors were obviously confused, and fully half their attacks missed Adamant outright, costing them nothing. It felt like an eternity that they fought their separate battles, him keeping the Watcher's influence off them, his friends somehow deflecting, dodging, or absorbing the unimaginable waves of Energemetra 6 slamming into them. Somehow they were holding on, though he shuddered to think what it must be costing them. With sudden finality, gravity disappeared, and Nate's attention snapped to the globe. He checked as quickly as he could that all the channels were still open. Then, holding it out in front of him, he tried once more to trigger its activation. This time, the sensation he got was one of searching. Just as suddenly, Nate's disruption field failed completely, and the full weight of the Watcher's attention crashed down on him. There was no comparison to what he had experienced before he created the disruption field. This wasn't a sensation of eyes from the dark, drilling through the back of his head. This was the undiluted attention of accusation incarnate, scouring his soul and laying his secrets bare. Whatever this creature was, it made any human enemy seem laughable. The reality of its presence made Kievan's speculations about whether Loredan might be behind their many woes laughable. Drake Loredan was like a gnat compared to the whirlwind of this creature's attention.
"I know what you are!"
The invasion of his consciousness was more than speech. It was as if a mockery of his own thoughts had been amplified and fed back to him at a mental volume that left no room for anything else. And this time, Nate's other reality didn't rise to haunt him. It didn't leave him with a feeling of duality, fighting to separate his two selves. It simply pulled him under. All that was left was the broken, pitiful thing he had always been. Nate shuddered, eyes squeezing shut, as the reality of his own wretchedness came home to him fully. He was the boy from his own dreams, helpless and in pain, beating his head against the wall to distract himself from his defectiveness. A flood of helpless tears poured from his eyes to drift around his face in the microgravity. He had forgotten the Watcher, his focus completely absorbed in himself, when the litany of his failures washed over him. One after another, he saw every way in which he had fallen short since he came to this reality. The Acrolucum was an empty husk in his tortured imagination, the ghosts of its students crying out for mercy from a pitiless dominion. Without a pause, Loredan smirked at him, hand held out in an offer of alliance that Nate had refused. Then he was paralyzed as the crowd carried him bodily through Lighthouse Station. Elder Rebus' sneer was just visible over their heads. Adjutant Celedra's laugh boomed out across the conclave, mocking him. Beyond it all, he could see Lyssa and Laura and Jesse, the three he'd left behind, watching him with judgmental eyes. Vaguely, beyond himself, he could still feel the enemy lashing them with unimaginable torrents of energy, his friends barely holding on, and he was crippled, unable even to move. The paralysis that gripped him was the same one that defined him in that other world, now so far away, and rendered him worthless. The darkness that reached out and smothered Nate might have lasted an instant or a lifetime. Time lost its meaning for him, much as it had during his entry into this world, and the agony stretched and stretched until he couldn't bear it. The globe of the Veil's activation was as abrupt as the Watcher's intrusion had been. It flared to life, and Nate went instantly blind, darkness engulfing him. The suddenness of it pulled him out of his paralysis, and he thrashed wildly. It took a frantic moment for him to realize he was seeing the inside of a dust cloud that was even thicker than the one he'd jumped into on the bridge of Hope One. Then Nate was moving. Somehow, miraculously, his bubble of air was still in place around him. He had never lost his grip on the fields, despite the mental onslaught that still had him disoriented. Every second was critical now. There was no time to recover. He smacked the airlock cycle button from memory and grabbed for a handhold, leaving the globe to float in space outside Adamant's airlock. As the airlock cycled, Nate fumbled for the comm switch and yelled, "Go! Go!" His voice sounding clumsy, almost drunk. Whether from the Veil's activation or something else, the Watcher's assault had completely disappeared, and Nate was as capable as he'd ever been. Then he was through the airlock and inside the bridge passage, looking frantically outward through his Energemetra sixth sense. He was barely in time. Adamant's shield was finally failing. He stopped in the passage and smacked both palms against the wall, bracing his feet, then reached out through the Sigil of Mysteries and flooded as much power as he could safely control into his friend's shield. The problem they faced was completely different from his own. Nate could access almost unlimited power. He had to be careful because any use of Energemetra 6 on his part pushed entropic anti-energy, extropy as Andrew had called it, out of him into his surroundings. but that wasn't really what limited him. Provided he was willing to destroy whatever he was touching, his limit was the willpower and attention he could devote to his task. His friends had far more attention than he did. There were 9 of them, and only 1 of him. But their ability to draw power was strictly limited to the entropy they could absorb before it burned them out or killed them outright. Nate's tsunami of energy reinforced Adamant's shield instantly, and he felt his friends retreating in exhaustion and pain. He hadn't felt 9 of them. He'd only sensed 5. That realization was enough to unbalance Nate again, as an echo of the Watcher's presence reverberated in his head. Only 5. He'd been too late. Nate's guts twisted, and he howled aloud, momentarily losing control of the flow of energy he had been directing into the shields. The results were unlike anything he'd imagined possible. Where before Adamant had been a globe of condensed light, its shield flickering in his senses, he was now surrounded by the noonday sun. The entirety of Nate's current access to Energemetra 6, a flow of a magnitude that dwarfed anything he could actually control, blasted outward like a supernova. There was no time to understand it. One moment, the enemy ships were all there. The next, half of them were hemorrhaging wrecks, barely shielding their brethren from the same fate. Then the veil expanded and covered everything in its muddy darkness. Internally, Nate was struggling to regain control of the power he had unleashed. The flow ravaged through him, still somehow following his mental pathway into the ship's shields, before roaring out into space in all directions, in an unstoppable torrent. The Recamacula on his neck and shoulder was white-hot fire, but he barely felt it. Under Nate's hands, the wall simply disintegrated, and he fell bodily into it, hitting the other side of the hollow space, then losing contact with any solid surface, as that disintegrated as well. In panic, Nate felt the extropy starting to build up inside him, creating an inevitable backlash. There was simply too much of it. Still howling, he clamped down with all his might on the terrible fountain of power he had become. The universe went dark. The Energemetra 6 podcast is made possible by North Arrow Coffee. North Arrow Coffee is the pro-life coffee company where 15% of every purchase goes to support organizations like Crisis Pregnancy Centers, whose purpose is to support women in the most difficult situation of their lives. If you're interested, head over to northarrowcoffee.co and use promo code E6 to get 10% off with your order.
The advertisements featured did not necessarily represent my endorsements or views.
And that concludes Chapter 16 of The Veil of Mysteries. Don't you love cliffhangers? Thank you, everybody, for being here. I really appreciate it. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Mel. I will see everybody next week for the conclusion, and I'm looking forward to it. This has been fun. Thank you, guys.